We now come to sign number 5 of our 25 signs that we are near the end. This has to do with the city of Jerusalem, how it will be united under Israeli rule. Now, as we continue to observe what the Bible has to say about the nation of Israel in the last days, we will encounter some important predictions about the holy city of Jerusalem. Though this is rarely appreciated, we will discover that this particular sign, the uniting of Jerusalem under Israeli rule, is actually monumental as far as Scripture is concerned with respect to the prophecies concerning the time of the end. Indeed, the city of Jerusalem is center stage or ground zero in the plan of God for the last days. All right, let's go back to 1948 and look at the situation then. As we noted, the modern state of Israel was born in May 14, 1948, but the exact borders of this new country were not clearly drawn. What made matters worse is that 1 minute after midnight of May 14, 1948, the newly formed state was attacked by its Arab neighbors. This was known as the War of Independence. Now, the situation after 1948 was this. When the War of Independence had ended, the city of Jerusalem was divided right down the middle. West Jerusalem was under Israeli rule, while East Jerusalem was occupied by Transjordan. In 1949, an armistice was declared, yet the precise borders of Jerusalem were never officially agreed upon. Now, there is a need for the city of Jerusalem to be reunited. As we will observe with some of the future signs we will consider, the Bible assumes that Jerusalem will be united under Israeli rule in the last days. Indeed, as we will later document in detail, certain events will take place that assume that this will be the case. This will include the building of the third temple, as well as its eventual desecration. Since the coming temple must be built upon the exact same spot as the previous temples on the Temple Mount, the Israelis must be in control of that geographical area. However, in 1948, after the War of Independence, the Temple Mount was in the hands of another country, Transjordan. Furthermore, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, the invading armies come to the mountains of Israel in their attack. In 1948, these mountains were not in the hands of Israel at that time. Therefore, after the miraculous rebirth of the State of Israel in 1948 and the end of the War of Independence, careful Bible students predicted there would have to be another war. In this war, the entire city of Jerusalem would be united under Israeli rule. We now fast forward some 19 years to 1967 and the Six-Day War. It took 19 years, but the predicted unification of Jerusalem did indeed take place. In June of 1967, the Six-Day War occurred, the Temple Mount, as well as the mountains of Israel, were captured by the Israelis, and the stage was set for the eventual building of the temple, as well as the Ezekiel 38 and 39 invasion. The reunification of Jerusalem was seen by many ancient commentators as our next point. The fact that Jerusalem will one day be reunified under Jewish rule was something that has been expected for a very long time by a number of Bible-believing Christians. In fact, we go back to the year AD 150 when the early church father Justin Martyr was asked if he believed that, quote, "Jerusalem shall be rebuilt, and the Jews to be gathered together and made joyful with Christ and the patriarchs." He responded, "I and many others are of this opinion," close quote. Now that was in AD 150, just about 100 years or less than 100 years after the temple was destroyed, the city destroyed, and the people dispersed. He believed that Jerusalem would again be rebuilt. While in the first 300 years of the Christian church, there was an expectation of the restoration of the Jews to their ancient homeland, this all changed with the writings of St. Augustine and the church father Jerome. What they did was to spiritualize the promises to Israel, and they taught that these promises now belonged to the church. For over 1,000 years, with a few exceptions, this was the prevailing view. However, we now come to Sir Henry Finch, the pioneer. The idea of a literal Israel being restored to their ancient homeland began to surface again around the 17th century. Sir Henry Finch was the first person who expounded in detail the idea of a literal restoration of the Jews. In 1621, he wrote the following about the Jews returning to their ancient homeland and eventually ruling from Jerusalem. He said this, "Where Israel, Judah, Zion, Jerusalem are named in this argument, the Holy Ghost meaneth not the spiritual Israel, or Church of God collected of the Gentiles, no, nor of the Jews and Gentiles both, for each of them have their own promises severally and apart, but Israel proper, descended out of Jacob's loins. These and such like are not allegories, but meant really and literally of the Jews, that one day they shall come to Jerusalem again." Close quote. Well, the Jews as a people, according to Sir Henry Finch, the actual physical descendants of Jacob, will one day return to their ancient homeland and its holy city, Jerusalem. Finch also taught that they would eventually rule the world from there. Now, it's sobering to realize what came about from him expressing this idea in print. Finch at the time was the greatest legal mind in England. In fact, the king often sought advice from him on legal matters. However, arguing for the literal restoration of the Jews to their ancient homeland, as well as maintaining that they would one day rule the world, albeit as Jewish Christians, well, this did not please the king. Finch, along with his publisher, were arrested. He lost everything and was publicly disgraced. Well, as can be imagined, the idea that Finch laid out in his book had been refined through the last 400 years. Yet we owe a great deal to this man for insisting on a literal interpretation of Scripture when it comes to the future of the Jews. We also trust that great will be his reward in heaven. All right, let's fast forward to the 19th century. Another writer, Adolf Saphir, wrote the following. "When prophecy looks forward to the days of the future, even then it regards Israel being settled in their own country, not to leave it, and as having Jerusalem as their capital." Close quote. So again, we see that certain things can be predicted based upon the Bible and what it says that will happen in the future. We have another early 20th century writer, A.C. Gabelein, who put it this way. "In connection with this, we desire to point out what a witness the Jewish race is to the truth of God's holy word. It is a supernatural fact, which no infidel can explain, that thousands of years ago, the entire history of the remarkable race was foretold. The curse which rests upon them, the condition of their land, and the city of Jerusalem, and much else, bear witness that the Bible is the word of God, that the rejected Jesus is their promised Messiah. And the word of God, which has been so literally fulfilled touching the curse, will some blessed day be as literally fulfilled in blessing." Close quote. All right, Gabelein's words were prophetic. The stage is being set for the Jews to receive that literal blessing. Indeed, they are back in their ancient homeland, and Jerusalem is under their control. While a time of great trouble awaits them, after this time will come the greatest blessing the nation has ever known, the national acceptance of Jesus as the Messiah. We're now going to look at the importance of Jerusalem in the plan of God. In speaking of the prophetic history of the nations, 19th century commentator B.W. Newton wrote these insightful words. "We find another example of this, that is, the importance of Jerusalem, in the method which it has pleased God to adopt in giving the prophetic history of these nations. As soon as they arose, prophets were commissioned, but especially Daniel, to delineate their course. We might perhaps have expected that their history would have been given minutely and consecutively from its beginning to its close. But, and this is in italics in his writing, instead of this, it is only in its connection with Jerusalem, and as soon as Jerusalem was crushed by the Romans and ceased to retain a national position in the earth, all detailed history of the Gentile empire is suspended. Many a personage most important in the world's history has since arisen. Charlemagne has lived, and Napoleon. Many a monarch and many a conqueror. Battles have been fought, kingdoms raised and kingdoms subverted. Yet Scripture passes silently over all of these things, however great in the annals of the Gentiles, because Jerusalem has nationally ceased to exist. 1,800 years ago, the detail of Gentile history was suspended, and it is suspended still, nor will it be resumed until Jerusalem reassumes a national position. Then the history of the Gentiles is minutely given, and the glory and dominion of their last great king described, that is, the Antichrist. He is found to be especially connected with Jerusalem and the land. He is to glorify himself on Zion, that's found in Isaiah 14:13 and Daniel 11:45, and to be broken and trodden underfoot in the land and on the mountains of Israel, and that's found in Isaiah 14:24-27. That the Jews are still unconverted and will go back into their land and there reassume a national standing has already been proved from the concluding chapters for Zechariah. For if, as those chapters teach, they are nationally converted when in their city, they must, of course, have returned to their homeland unconverted, close quote. B.W. Newton wrote that in the year 1848. So this 19th century author brings up some very, very important points, which include the following. First, since the Lord does indeed give us a general outline of the history of the nations, we would expect more detail. However, the Gentiles are only mentioned with reference to the city of Jerusalem. In fact, once Jerusalem was destroyed and the Jews sent into exile, the Lord became silent as to the history of these nations. That silence will only end when Jerusalem is again controlled by the chosen people, namely the Jews. At the time Newton wrote this, there had been almost 1,800 years of the wandering of the Jews, as well as 1,800 years of silence from God as far as the nations were concerned. Jerusalem will again come to the forefront when the Jews return to their homeland in an unconverted state. At some unspecified time after this, the final Gentile ruler comes on the scene, namely the Antichrist. Hence, when we once again see Jerusalem controlled by the Jews, then the Bible goes into great detail about the events that will take place in the holy city. All of this recognizes a profound truth. Jerusalem has been, is, as well as will be, at the center of the world events as far as God is concerned. The other nations in the world are only mentioned in reference to the Jews and the city of Jerusalem. This should give us an idea of the importance of the holy city, as well as the events will take place in their future. So to sum up, the main events of history, as far as the Bible is concerned, revolves around a people, namely the Jews, and their holy city, Jerusalem. Therefore, we must appreciate how monumental it was for the Jews to unite the entire city in June of 1967. Now, another point we want to bring up is that Jerusalem will never be divided again. It seems that once the city of Jerusalem has been united, it will never again be divided. Unhappily, there have been attempts by many in Israel, as well as in the United States of America, to do precisely this. Since certain events will take place in East Jerusalem in the last days that will involve Israel, this territory must remain under their authority. This also includes the mountains of Israel. Now, we're going to have much more to say about that as we look at Sign 9, which is the coming invasion of Israel by certain specified nations as predicted in Ezekiel's chapter 38 and 39. Now, there's one other thing that we should pay attention to, and that is this. The Lord has promised to punish those that divide his land. In the book of Joel, chapter 3, here's what we read. In those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel, because they scattered my people amongst the nations and divided up my land. That's Joel chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. These are indeed sobering words which speak of a punishment that is still yet to come. Hence, we cannot overestimate the importance of this particular sign, the reuniting of the city of Jerusalem under the rule of the Israelis. So let's sum up what we've said. As we examine what the Bible has to say about the situation in Israel in the last days, we find that it assumes that the entire city of Jerusalem will be united under Israeli rule. Indeed, certain events that the Bible predicts that will happen in the future are based upon the idea that Israel controls the entire city. As we shall see in some of our coming signs of the end, this includes the building of the third temple, along with the invasion of Israel predicted in Ezekiel 38 and 39. At the time of this invasion, the mountains of Israel are in the hands of the Israelis. Yet, when the modern state of Israel was founded in 1948, the city of Jerusalem was divided. Israel was in control of West Jerusalem, but Transjordan occupied East Jerusalem. While the founding of the country of Israel fulfilled Bible prophecy, it was recognized by careful Bible students that there was still more that had to take place. Consequently, they predicted, based upon the biblical scenario of the last days, that another war had to take place. In that war, the city of Jerusalem had to be completely united under Israeli rule. And this is precisely what happened in June of 1967. East Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, as well as other territories, were liberated by the Israelis. This has set the stage for many Bible prophecies that remain to be fulfilled. We also observe that past Bible commentators, going all the way back to the second century, look forward to the day when the Jews would come back to Jerusalem and have the entire city under their control. So here's the question. How were these Bible commentators able to predict this? Well, the answer is simple. When we understand Bible prophecy in a literal manner, then we are able to assume that certain things will take place in the future based upon the predictions of Scripture. And this is a case in point. Now, this is also highly instructive about future things predicted in the Bible, which have not yet taken place. Based upon Scripture, we can predict certain things that will happen simply because the Bible tells us they will happen. In other words, all we are doing is taking the words of Scripture at face value and then merely stating what it says will happen. Finally, we have also noted the importance the Bible itself places upon the city of Jerusalem. Indeed, the history of the Gentile nations, as revealed in Scripture, revolve around the city of Jerusalem and the events which will take place there. In fact, there were 19 centuries of silence as far as the Bible was concerned. Since the Jews were not back in their land, neither had they united the city of Jerusalem. Now that the city has been united under Israeli rule, the stage is set for further predictions to come to pass. The last day scenario that the biblical prophets predicted so long ago with respect to Jerusalem can now be literally fulfilled. Furthermore, Scripture gives us many details as to exactly what will happen there in the future. So to sum up, the fifth sign that the Israelis have united Jerusalem under their rule is monumental as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. Now, our next sign fulfills another prediction of Scripture with respect to the nation of Israel in the last days. Not only will they exist, they will be in the spotlight of the world with all eyes upon them.